Okay. My name is Karen Hines. I'm founder and CEO of Workplace Success Group.
Side game. Learn how entrepreneurs started, sustain, and succeed.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, I'm in the garden, y'all. And you know, I'm loving it. I'm loving being in the garden. I am with Karen S. Hines, and this is her book. I got a new copy because I got the old version, I guess, online. That's what they sent me. But Karen, I met through Leadership Palm Beach, and we were part of the, what was it, focus group?
Focus group, yes.
The
focus.
Most effective group ever. Yeah, that's the tagline I'm putting on focus. Yes, yes. And she's going to give us the game on how she is a leader in workplace diversity, inclusion, impact, even just reading.
Leadership development.
Development.
Women's development. There we go.
Reading this book. This is what your mother, grandmother tried to beat into you. And now we are losing a lot of it. So we're going to get into it. Miss Karen, welcome to Diversify Game. How you doing?
Thank you. Hey, everyone. Great to be here with you, Kellen. Welcome to my backyard here in South Florida, where you can have fun and work at the same time.
If you're invited and if the gate is open. So y'all don't come to this part of Florida thinking it's sweet. But the fruit is sweet, and I have tasted it, and it's a beautiful treat. Karen, let's talk about how we got here all the way to Florida, not just from New England, but from, you know, we say abroad, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, tell us, how did we get here?
How did we get here? So from abroad, I am from the beautiful island nation of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I've been in the U.S. since I was 15. My parents brought us here for a better education, me and my siblings, and we came to Boston for obviously to go to school. I went to Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. Yay, Bowdoin! And you know, my path to South Florida has been a very interesting one. I never thought about living in Florida, but here I am, literally living the best life ever. And I'm here because a number of years ago, I went through a personal crisis where it seemed like my entire life blew up. But what I didn't really know was, you know, God has a sense of humor. You think things are falling apart when really they're falling into place. Because now I'm able to live in a place where I have over 35 to 40 varieties of tropical fruit trees, where I can eat regularly, fresh food, and still do the work of developing leaders, building organizational culture, and also creating a space for women to be their best selves.
And this is God's garden, managed by Yvonne. Can you talk about, you know, these fruits and just how much work this is before we get into everything else, because this will be distracting to even me because I know how sweet they are, but how much time does it take to keep this up?
So this is, I don't do it by myself. So first of all, so we're on a little bit over an acre of land, and I have, you know, on my vision board. So I'm living my vision board. We could talk about that later on. But on my vision board, I wanted an oasis that would have almost all of the fruit trees I grew up with in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So I have everything from the mangoes and the coconuts, but I also have lychee and longa and dragon fruit, mulberries, jabuticaba, a Brazilian tree grape, sapodillas, and the list goes on. But I have someone who comes in and helps me, you know, cut the grass, make sure the trees stay trim. And then I and my friends do the rest of the work. But we have fun. We trade the fruit. I don't sell the fruit. I trade it for fun and have friends with my friends. And it's an opportunity to give back.
Awesome. And the give back, you know, with leadership development, It's almost like you're trying to teach people how to be courteous, how to be respectful, How to get along, no matter who your coworker is. That you just don't get into that position, especially doing it at the level that you're doing it. You guys will Google her and say, oh, wow. You know, how did this start? Because after college, many people have probably got the same degree as you. Mm-hmm. They might even got better jobs than you, but they're not where you're at. They don't have the freedom that you have. Mm-hmm. They don't have the successful business that you have. For that 14-year-old listening right now, what are the steps after college to get to the level that you're at?
So I think if I had to talk to my 14-year-old self, is to, and this might sound a bit big for a 14-year-old, but we have to teach our young people to be intentional about living. I think at 14, you're thinking you have the rest of your life. And you really do, because you're thinking, a 50-year-old seems so old, right? And I'm in my 50s. But at 14 years old, is to really pay attention to what was happening in school. But school is not the only place you need to pay attention to. Build relationships. Get to know the older people in your village. I had interest in working and living and enjoying and being around people who are older. I just enjoyed it because I could learn from them. So while your friends might be out having a great time, and that's important, you need to start looking forward and spend the time with people who can be mentors for you, who can guide you. And don't feel you know everything, because it's really easy to do that at 14 years old.
Now, you know, this is just be a conversation so others can learn and see how you did it. But when you say like 50 is old, they look at your muscles and they say, hold on, she's 50. Kellen, pull out the ID. Health, not just with the garden, it is important to you.
It is.
Those muscles aren't like the M-Sculpt thing that I had just had on my stomach.
Don't put your business out there, Kellen. No,
oh, well, I put it online with my doctor. So doctor out here, who, you know, black home physician, we were doing like some, just having fun. Mm-hmm. So it's not a secret, but, and I'm not there yet. So it's nothing to be jealous. Unlike your arms, tell folks, you know, health is important to you. What type of, you know, supplements, what type of workout routine are you on?
So I didn't always look like this. I was a kid growing up. I was the chubby kid. And as I mentioned, you know, a number of years, about 4 or 5 years ago, I went through a crisis in my life where everything was upset, so to speak. I had to move. I got divorced. I gained almost 50 pounds. I mean, I was not in a healthy place. I was depressed. I was very frustrated. But I always had a goal of entering an amateur bodybuilding competition, and tried before, it didn't work. And that nagging feeling came back about probably 2 years ago. And I called up a coach who I've been looking at for about 4 years and said, hey, I want to lose some weight. I need to get rid of this weight. I was not feeling very healthy or very sluggish. And he worked with me. And over that time frame, at the end of the first year of disciplined eating, but more so discipline of the mind, and growing stronger spiritually, which impacted the way I show up physically, I decided to go ahead and enter my first bodybuilding competition. So I competed in October of last year in the over 50 category, and had a wonderful time. So my regimen is working out, lifting weights. I don't run. I walk 2 to 3 miles almost every day, and then I lift weights. So that is my lifestyle. I only eat whole foods, so I don't eat chips and I don't eat all the sweets. I used to be a cheese addict. But I recognize as I get older, at 53 years old, I want to be around for my grandchildren. I want to be that 95-year-old strutting her stuff in her stilettos and not having a weak hip. To do that, I had to make changes. So I live a very healthy lifestyle. I eat naturally and I exercise. And I have fun. I love outdoors sports, so I do a lot of stand-up paddleboarding and kayaking and canoeing and camping. That's why I have no hair, because I can't be bothered with the hair, so I can actually go out and enjoy myself.
Now, a lot of that, you know, with especially the food addiction that many of us have, I'm always fighting my own, sometimes winning, sometimes losing. There's things like Ozempic and Mounjaro people are taking to help with that. It sounds like you didn't have to take any extra supplements to trick your brain. It was just pure determination.
It was discipline, but again, it was discipline, the guidance of a really great coach out of Massachusetts. His name is Jeff Sue. Jeff and I worked together. So I didn't do any drugs, I didn't do any hormones, but it took 2 years to be able to go from the version of me that was not healthy to the version that I am now, where I do feel happy, I do feel more grounded. But it's not just an external transformation, because people think that when you lose weight that magic happens. It was also a spiritual transformation for me. It was an internal transformation where I had to learn the value of who I am, to be intentional about how I live, to show up and have God be the focus of my life. And that is where I get my strength and power from. So when I work with leaders, it's helping leaders to understand that it doesn't have to be either or. You can be a great leader and still be emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually strong. And what I'm seeing, and one of the reasons I'm doing this work now, especially with senior leaders, especially for women, that there seems to be this idea that you have to have either or. There's a trade-off. And I am a living embodiment that you can be a phenomenal leader, a phenomenal mother, and still take care of yourself emotionally, take care of yourself mentally, take care of yourself spiritually and physically, and win. But it's about intentional living, and I like to say, really redefining who you are. So that's how I did it.
Now, how much of how you look helps with your business? Because a lot of times, you know, America's a very shallow place. The world can be. Have you seen an increase the more you put into your health and your fitness, that the more your business has rose? Was there like a 50% rise in business?
I wish I could say that. I wouldn't attribute that to my physical look. I would attribute that to my mental work. Because you can be, you can have a phenomenal body and still be emotionally depressed and still be frustrated about life. Getting grounded. So for those of you who are listening, you've been taught to develop your body. You've been taught to develop your, you know, your mind, your education. But where have you been taught to develop your spiritual self, your soul? Where have you been taught that? Nowhere. However, when you develop that, that gives you the passport, the license to then be able to write whatever ticket you want and be intentional about how you live. So becoming the best version of yourself is a much easier task. It's not easy, don't get me wrong. It's not easy. But you're able to stay on that trajectory. Women face a lot of responsibilities, as do men. But we know a lot of times women face the brunt of the household chores and they still have to work. So how does a woman stay grounded in all that she has to do, develop herself without losing herself? And by the time a woman's 40, 50, even late 30s, a lot of them have lost their identity. And my journey has been one where I needed to reclaim that.
And I was thinking when you said the women have to work and take care of the home. For some, I was thinking about the manosphere guys. I just want my wife to stay home and have you. You know, that
some
old
men
man.
Are staying home. Too. Remember that. Some men are staying home as well, but the majority are still women. Yeah.
So with, you know, leadership and, you know, somebody might think, oh, well, I need to be like a senior executive of the C-suite for her to work with me or for me to be able to afford this. Who can come to you? And also give them ranges, because what I find is somebody will hit you in the DMs or email you and they'll either think that, you know, it's way more money than it is, or that they can say, oh, well, you know, I got $1,000 and I don't want anybody coming to you just thinking, oh, I got $1,000, you know, because even $1,000 an hour, you guys, you're not going to get her time.
So this is, I think for anybody who's listening, first of all, it's being able to meet people where they are. So we do have free resources. We have articles online. They can hop onto my website, KarenHines.com, and be able to subscribe to my newsletter. But I think this is not so much about them finding me, it's about them finding themselves first. Because oftentimes we look externally for answers. Coming to me is not, I don't have a magic pill where I can fix anybody. I think first of all, there's two types of leaderships. Leadership, there's personal leadership and there's people leadership. So which one do you want? Are you do you want to spend the time doing some personal development, or do you want to spend some time looking at how you can better lead your team, how you can better effectively inspire and motivate the people who are working with you, help them transform? So anybody who's looking at what I offer, you know, log on to our website, you know, sign up for a newsletter, get some free resources there, get to know what we do for us before you spend your money. I'm not an advocate of people saying, hey, I want to work with her right away, because working with me will require that you work. So that's the first thing. And number two, our clients tend to be mostly corporations who want to work with senior leaders. But we also have a women's conference we have coming up in September here in West Palm Beach at the PGA National Resort for women who are looking for that place where they can have a leadership and wellness retreat, where they can spend a weekend with like-minded women to nurture their leadership skills, to nurture that emotional, mental, physical, spiritual side of themselves. And for those who are thinking, can I work with her one-on-one in coaching? Yes, they can. We don't give ranges out in public, but I think I always like to say, how can we help people get where they need to be? And they'll figure it out once we start sharing some resources with them.
Well, can you let the people know about the event price, the ticket price, and not, you don't have to do the VIP, but just so somebody won't log off and say, oh, actually, I have that saved.
Yeah. So definitely. So our registration opens on March 15th. So I'm super excited about that. So you can log on to our website, KarenHines.com or newconference.com, and be able to access our early bird rate. It is $12.99 for the early bird rate. And that includes your weekend, all of the sessions, your meals, an opportunity to connect with women who have like mind, a chance to have a personal development plan. This is not a conference you come to. I'd like to say it's an unconference conference. It's an opportunity for you to invest in yourself, where you are the center of attention, not a superstar on the stage. It's a place that you're going to come to work on you, to spend time developing you, where you recognize the value and that you are a masterpiece, that you were created for something greater, and this is your time. If you want that, then this is the place that you need to come to on September 12th through the 15th at PGA National Resort here in West Palm Beach.
And you guys, Karen and I have fun, so I have to sometimes dig deeper and just ask, because I can already hear it in the, and I can sometimes hear the audience. Oh, so if I come in my Madea outfit, no. I can come. So for that gentleman who was thinking that, women's conference.
It's a women's experience. We're calling it a women's experience because we want to create this space for women. Now, will we have men at some time in the future? Probably, because I do work with men as well. I'm not exclusive to women. But for this year and this particular space, we are reserving it for women at this time.
Got you. With the leadership, you know, piece, there's so many people who are coaches. People have a magic pill course. It's almost like how the old pastors would have, I got this cloth. Yes. And if you buy this cloth back in the infomercial days, but now everything is an infomercial. Uh-huh. How does somebody, you know, go from barely just surviving, trying to get people, you know, to buy into their program? Because a lot of people, everybody's an empath right now. If you ask anyone, they're an empath, they're a philanthropist, they've retired their mother, their brother. Like,
yes.
For you, yeah. For you, how did you get, like, your first client where you're like, oh, okay, I've made it, and now the imposter syndrome has kind of come down a little bit?
So I never feel I've made it, because to have made it means I'm dead. That's the first thing. So God created me, so I have a work here to do. When I've made it, then does that mean I have no more work to do? So I got my first client by volunteering. So this was back in 1998, I believe. I had this wild idea that I'm going to start a business. And I remember calling up the Morgan Memorial Goodwill Industries. They have a job development program for people who are coming off of welfare. And this is the back in the days when they posted job descriptions in the newspaper. Tell you how long ago it was. And I remember looking up this job description, and I circled it, and I called them. I said, don't hire anyone because they were looking for a trainer. I will do the job for free. Now, I know she thought I had lost my mind. She said, would you come in and talk with me? I said, yeah. So I went in and I told her, I can do this for you for free. I just need you to work with my schedule, which is after work. Because at the time, I worked at a high school. So I needed to work after 2. She says, perfect. It works well. So I volunteered for the first 3-4 weeks. And after that, she says, Karen, we can't have you do this for free. We're going to pay you because our participants love what you're doing. So that's how I got started, by volunteering. And then I got the second client through word of mouth. And then I did something, because now I thought I made it, right? And then I quit my job without a plan. Don't do that. And the contract was fine. It lasted for a number of months. And then I didn't have the business insight. I was just driving on adrenaline and didn't sit down and plan, what is my next step? So when the contract ran out, I really hadn't spent any time marketing, and found myself in my basement without contracts, crying. Yeah, because I had no money. So I had to learn. I learned quickly that you don't do that. You need to plan a bit more further ahead, and had to figure out, how do I get myself out of that mess I had created? It was a mess. Thankfully, I didn't have a kid at the time, but I had bills to pay. And had to rely on my then husband to help, you know, take care of my part of the load so we can get through. And then had to go back out and market, and had to understand my sales cycle and my clients, and do the work and the research and the networking. So I like to think I'm an overnight 26-year success.
Teachable moment for the audience who's been with us for a while through mm-hmm. this journey, mm-hmm. so many people, including myself, you just start. Mm-hmm. And you just start, and then eventually someone says, I have to pay you because we want you to stay. Mm-hmm. And when you really want to do something in this type of realm, there is no degree that can teach exactly. you this. You know, I guarantee you, even if you went to Harvard, or the Harvard of the South, Grambling State University. So, you know, but to stay in this game and to be able to keep doing it for 20 plus years, mm-hmm. what has it taken? Because even Tony Robbins and mm-hmm. Les Brown, they, you know, are always trying to learn something new. Mm-hmm. What has been like the key to see your success to stay in the game once you are hitting here in the big leagues?
I would say to keep learning, because what I started doing is not what I'm doing now. I started out working with welfare to work clients. I started working with high school students, getting them internships in corporations. Now my work centers primarily around working with C-suite leaders in corporations, not here in the, only in the U.S., but throughout the Caribbean and South America. So that's different where I started and where I am now. The key is community. So you have to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, who are doing more things and different things, and you have to keep learning. But it's also easy to get sidetracked and be attracted to all the shiny objects. So how are you staying grounded to know that you have a calling on your life and you have to listen to that? Because oftentimes it will take you on a path that other people are not familiar with. And if you're not careful, other people can talk you out of your dream because they don't understand it. So I would say remain grounded, keep learning, build community so you're able to be the next best version of yourself.
And with that, you know, you talk about doing work in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. in Spanish-speaking countries. Mm-hmm. Let's tap into, because her Spanish is something she studied also in school. She didn't just author 5 books, you know, and I don't know. I was make sure this one is in English.
This one's okay. In English.
Okay. But tell people, you know, even with doing it in multiple languages and being able to do it, like, how has that helped you? Because everybody right now in high school, even middle school, they're mm-hmm. learning another language, but are they practicar todos los días? Probably not.
And that's important too. And it's not just about learning a language. It's about being exposed to different cultures and recognize the world is a very small place. How are you exposing yourself to different ideas and different people and different ways of living so you can expand yourself? So the Spanish piece, I studied Spanish in Mexico and the Dominican Republic and lived there for one for 3 months, one for 4 months. And I did 4 years in college as well as high school. So that was an integral part of my development. And I would encourage anyone who's in school right now to find a second language. Expose yourself to people from diverse cultural backgrounds so you can expand your horizon. And that gives you room to find different aspects of your development you hadn't even thought about. And it can help grow you as well.
In growing and with success, what is a community give back that you're doing or mm-hmm. that you would like to do in the future?
I have multiple community give backs and always had them. That's one thing I would say for anyone. People have this thought that, oh, when I make it big, I'll give back. No, give back now. You know, when I was 8 years old, I was collecting money to buy a front door mat for my church in the Caribbean. That was a big deal. And here I am now where I support students in college. I'm volunteer right here in Palm Beach County for the Sierra Club, for a division called Inspiring Connections Outdoors, where we take students outdoors to enjoy the outdoors, appreciate, learn about it. So that's one of my volunteer opportunities. But I also have give scholarships out to students who are in high school for different programs across the country and in the Caribbean that I support through different organizations. So it's a not only financial piece, but it's also giving of my time. And I do volunteer at other boards and associations locally. I'm part of the American Heart Association. I do some volunteer work there as well. Part of the United Way in Greater Waterbury in the Connecticut area, because I go back and forth. So I find ways to give back. I have a special spot for young people because I remember coming here from the Caribbean and having the ability to have other adults pour into me. And I always want to make sure I stop and help somebody else, but it's an encouraging word, sharing my journey. But you never know what one word could do for someone. And I always want to be cognizant of that and remain humble.
Humble is a great thing. Mm-hmm. with AI mm-hmm. coming, how has
it's here? It's not it's, coming. It's our, here.
Well,
it's
the here. AGI is coming. That's what I'm really excited okay. about. But what? And you know, even with the leadership of Palm Beach, mm-hmm. they, when they said the flying cars are mm-hmm. coming to Palm Beach, mm-hmm. and I said yes, mm-hmm. because there's some places that are so scared of that. How has that helped or you know impacted your work?
I think right now I'm not seeing an immediate impact, although it has. You know, from where I sit, however, it makes some of the tasks we do easier. So that's the first impact, I would say. But from a client standpoint, it hasn't had a direct impact on our revenue quite yet. I'm sure it will in the next couple of weeks and months and in the next few years. But as of now, it makes some of our operational tasks a lot easier. And we enjoy that when we can actually cut time down and make things go a little quicker. So, yes.
Now, are you thinking about, I saw this at CES a year or two ago, cloning yourself or having your AI where then it starts thinking like
no,
you?
No, that is a little bit too scary for me right now. No, I think I'm going to pass on that one.
Okay, not there yet. Me no. either. I've told them they can pay me for this brain.
Yeah, well, there you go. Although I was at a breakfast this morning at the Palm Beach Chamber and they were talking about at MIT that they programmed some robots with the rules of soccer, and within 3 hours they were able to figure out how to play the game. That's scary to some degree. Can you imagine that? 3 hours and robots can play soccer. What else can they do? So I'm not ready to clone myself quite yet.
I love it because it's, I always say for like the developing world, mm-hmm. when this comes there and when we can get full internet, things are going to balance out, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know. And one thing that they tell me, you know, you can be in a developing world bank and they'll say, you know why we like the humans? Because the technology you can't corrupt. But you guys can take that to your bank or anywhere and they'll love that one.
But the technology can't write thank you cards and they can't have empathy for the person across the table and they can't attend functions and hold a human hand, so there's still value to having that human touch that I think as humans we all need. But there's a lot of value that AI brings that I'm excited about.
Yeah, and that's where the AGI will come in. And there's some places mm-hmm. that really, you know, one they've already have robot girlfriend and boyfriends because they're not having enough, you yeah. know, relations. Talking about though in the loneliness, and you know, I just came back from Asia. Japan was one of the countries, and nobody talks on the train. Nobody talks. They're just texting, mm-hmm. and even if you're like on a date, it's like quiet, it's mm-hmm. silence. You kind of like it if you're mm-hmm. from some rowdy areas, but then you say, wow, this is why there's, you know, such the old people are mm-hmm. still working. They say it's lonely at the top as well. Mm-hmm. I disagree because I like to think I've brought some people up with mm-hmm. me who can talk on a certain level, and I'm not where I really want to be, but I don't think any entrepreneur is. Mm-hmm. But when you think about the loneliness of entrepreneurship and having people being able to relate to you, how do you battle that and not so you're not depressed and not going back to eating maybe what I'll eat, you know, mm-hmm. later on today?
No judgment, okay? You know, so it is lonely. There's an element of loneliness at the top. And that is because to lead, you need to be quiet at times. You cannot lead from listening to everybody's opinion all the time. There's an element where you need to take in information, sit, process it, and then you move forward. We're not trained to value that quiet time. We're in a society that teaches us that we should be constantly stimulated. And I have a 24-year-old son, and I remember as he was growing, I would say, you need to allocate thinking time. So we've devalued time to think and process and strategize and create, and we've labeled all time alone as loneliness. And that is not correct. So for a lot of people, they're not comfortable in their own skin, which makes it difficult for them when there's time that's needed to be quiet. Now, does that mean that people aren't lonely? Yeah, you can still be lonely, but that you need to learn that as a leader, for you to be most effective, it will require a degree of time being spent alone. But if you're wise and you use that time effectively, it could be the creation. It could be a think tank for bringing greatness forward. So it's about changing the way you look at that time. A leader should also intentionally schedule time to be with community. So for me, I ensure I spend time with my girlfriends, making sure I spend time with not just girlfriends, with everybody, male and female. So I'm able to feed my soul. So it's a balance. It's an integrated life. I wouldn't say balance. It's an integrated life where you're able to get what you need to thrive.
And but the other part of that is, if you don't want to be lonely, and if you are whatever successful and greatness is, with that comes the leeches. And when you're coming from or going internationally or even in your own city, people, you know, athletes deal with this all the time, influencers of all sorts of people every day. You almost don't want to watch your WhatsApp and people are, hey, it's my birthday, or I have a problem. And you think, wow, yesterday was my birthday and you didn't even say hello. How do you deal with the leeches, the people who want to be the time vampires, the energy suckers that just, you know, I know that you're doing well. Help me out, because you're supposed to, because I'm your cousin, because I'm your, you know, whatever. I don't want to get too close, because somebody will watch this and say, hey, she was talking about me. But how do you deal with that part of it?
I think it's about the boundaries you set for yourself. So there are people who will try to entice me with things that I have no interest in, so it doesn't bother me. So I know what the boundaries are. So I know, I do get a lot of requests for people saying, can you sponsor this, or can you pay for that? And I have a certain allotment for the work I need to do. When that allotment's done, it's done. It's a boundary. So it doesn't matter what story I hear, I need to have that in place to take care of me. So I'm either going to disappoint you or I'm going to disappoint me. I'm going to disappoint you, because I cannot get into the habit of disappointing myself on a consistent basis, because I need me to be healthy to keep producing. So once you are clear on what that boundary is, you educate people on that. And then you decide what you respond to and what you don't. Which means you have to be okay with criticism. And it's taken me a long time to get here. And I still sometimes struggle with it. I don't say it's falling off my, you know, my back quite yet. But I had to set boundaries for myself, because I found myself getting frustrated with requests. Going, I can't believe they asked me that again. You just asked me that last week. Again, here we go. And sometimes some people, you know, they tug at your heartstrings, because I'm not cold. They tug at your heartstrings and, you know, you can't do anything else but help. But the more boundaries I set for myself, this is how I will live. This is the intention I set for myself. And then sticking with that. That helps me get through a lot of what you've described and not being easily swayed.
And how do you say no?
I'm so sorry, that does not work for me at this time.
All right. I'm trying to think.
Or that cannot work at this time.
But it's just a little.
Sir. I understand, but no, I remember telling someone recently, I would love to help, but we've already allocated all of our funds for this season, and I'm not in a position to assist you.
Okay. Off camera, I'm gonna tease you even more.
I'm sure you will. But you have something in your DM you want to share, Karen. You gotta take care of this.
I got some personal, you know. But it's only $5, you know, and it's
boundaries, Karen. Yeah. Boundaries.
It's only, you know, boundaries. What I mean.
So if you have 20 of those $5 requests, you see where things start.
But
adding
I only need you to handle mine, you know.
Yeah.
You know
how, and then the resentment starts building up, and next thing you know, you're the person who feels like, what did I just do?
You ever get the pictures of their sick baby in the hospital?
No, I haven't gotten those. Thank God.
Okay.
Thank God. I haven't gotten those. Don't wish that on me, Kelly.
No, I mean,
don't wish that on me, okay?
Okay, I might have to move to St. Vincent. But go and flow there. What would be some advice that you give the 20-year-old version of yourself, but living in these times right now, where it's so easy to get a virtual assistant, it's so easy to have a whole team for even a little bit of money, but it's also easy to get $1 million or $10 million loan, because they come in the paper, you know, they mail it. Do you need a loan?
Yes.
And the more you make, it's like, how do you guys find out where I'm at, and I'll offer you a Bugatti and everything else.
House and land. So my 24-year-old son and I have these conversations all the time, and I try to think about it, of him as my 20-year-old something version of myself. And we spend most of the time now helping him getting to know himself. Because if you give somebody who's unaware $1 million, they will lose it. You give them a Bugatti or Lamborghini or a Bentley or whatever you give them, they will lose it. So how do we, in your 20s, spend the time traveling? I remember when I was in my 20s, I had a job that took me throughout Europe. I had a fellowship that took me throughout the Caribbean. Spend the time traveling, getting to know your likes and your dislikes, learning about boundaries, learning about, develop the skills that you have. Build relationships. That's the time when you develop all this equity in you. So you begin to see what you like, what your gifts are, what your talents are. Unfortunately, we have a lot of 20-something year olds who are being taught other things. And when they wake up in their 30s and 40s, realize they've squandered their 20s. Their 20s is when you are supposed to experiment with ideas and concepts and travel and figure out who you are. So spend your 20s doing that now. And the best investment is in you. Who are you? What were you born to do? What is your contribution to life? And how do you give back to the world the essential, unique gifts that you've been given that only you can deliver? I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. So spend your 20s doing that. And boy, when you hit your 30s and 40s, you can have all the money you want. You can have all the land you want. You know, learn about financial literacy in your 20s as well, so you don't squander your money.
That's a
critical one. I wish I knew that in my 20s, because that's all I'm going to say.
That's a very important piece. Uh-huh. And with like our clients in Africa, uh-huh, and even many immigrants who find out like about the Charles Schwabs and the Vanguards, mm-hmm, and people even in Africa can do Charles Schwab. Mm-hmm. You have to put a lot more money in.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that financial piece is what makes America a profitable thing. Like, America's great for money. Mm-hmm. You want to make money, come to America. Now, if you want to be able to enjoy it like you could in certain places.
Don't spend it here.
Yeah, but how, and even with your clients, how do you tell somebody who might have got their first million or even, mm-hmm, decamillionaires, you know, this is what you, getting their mind right. We have an old saying in entertainment. They say, look, you got to love this person, mm-hmm, when they're poor, because once they're rich, they just lose their mind sometimes. Athletes, the same thing. How do you get that humility out of people, even if they come to you and say, look, I got this money, I've done it. You know, I know I need help, but what do I do?
So I work with a lot of leaders who have accomplished, I mean, some staggering global level impact things, and they walk away feeling empty. That's why I said in your 20s, develop you. So the focus was on building a career and not building a life. So when they come to me, and I do work with a lot of executives who are, by that time, they have a phenomenal house or houses, they have multiple cars, they have a big job wherever it is they're working, but their spiritual self is empty. Their soul is empty. And they're looking for ways they can make an impact. So we focus on that. How do you begin to reposition your life where you come from a place of meaning, where you come from a place of intentionality, so you can be the better version of yourself? Because the money just brings out who you are. It's already in you. But if you don't take the time to develop that person into an individual who is grounded, who's able to see the need of others, who's able to live from a place of love, joy, peace, self-control, they're not going to do very well. And those are the things that people should be focusing on, whether they're in the 20s, the 30s, or the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it is. Focus on the things that make you better. Are we gentle with each other? That's what leaders need to learn. We have so many leaders who are running roughshod up and down people all the time. Develop a spirit of gentleness. Develop a self-discipline, self-control.
Well, that's sometimes, you know, difficult. And we're seeing, mm-hmm, in the news, I don't have to say names. You guys can make up a name, mm-hmm, and seeing people who have been on top for 30 years. Uh-huh. And now it's all coming down.
And what's the root of some of that thing? Self-control, discipline, gentleness. What are we talking about? Same thing.
Yeah.
It's listed right there. So if we turn that on its head and say, in your 20s, in whatever way you are in your life, 20s, 30s, spend that time developing that version of yourself. So you don't find yourself in a position later on where things are being exposed because you did not develop you. Or the habits that you've been living by, the trappings that money created for you made it easy to make decisions that were not in your best interest. I mean, nobody's perfect, eh? I'm not perfect. Everybody has things that they're thinking, I really shouldn't have done that.
you're talking to it. And even in an interview like this, mm-hmm. I'd love, you know, for the views to mm-hmm. say a name so you can say, Karen Hines speaks on so-and-so, right? No. But it's just not in me to do it because it's not necesito. It's like, you know, but that's what we see getting the million and billion views. But you have to have the control to say, but that's not me. I don't want to expose anybody like mm-hmm. that I don't know that person. Mm-hmm. Or even if I do, I really don't want to expose that person because if you really know too much, you were there, and why didn't you say something? Uh-huh, uh-huh. You know, you might have been, you know, having a hand in that. Mm-hmm. So, with that, we know that you have a humble spirit and that you only work with certain people that want to work with you. Do you ever, you know, outside in this beautiful yard, like want to put on your genie hat and your mat and like take pictures and say, I can help you, and you start levitating and you say, I'm your all-time guru.
No.
Like, you'll never need anybody else. Just call me Miss Cleo. May she rest in peace.
No, never. I come out in my yard and I figure out how many more scallions I can plant, how many more bananas or how many more plantains or mangoes I need to pick, how much weeds I need to pick. This is my place of being centered. So I cannot be everything to everyone. It doesn't work that way. And my mentors will slap me over the head if I even try to do that at any time. So it's for me, if I can give a kind word to someone that lifts their spirit for that moment and that they're able to feed on that and let that spark their transformation, I'm good. When I go to the grocery store, I make sure I smile. I talk to the people who are there because it is about relationship. So my work, I look at it not as I only work with leaders. My work is every day when I wake up, when I go to church, when I go to the supermarket, when I go to the gym. How do you bring that same spirit? It's not something that I put in a box. So that's important for me.
Now, when you do get a client, mm-hmm. or have you ever, I should say, mm-hmm. had a potential client or a client mm-hmm. that does want to take more of your time, or mm-hmm. they come and say, look, I have more money than I know to spend, mm-hmm. but I need you 24 hours a day. It's like Michael Jackson's doctor, mm-hmm. right? I need you to travel with me. I need your time when I'm crying. I need you to wipe my tears. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to turn anyone down like that
yes.
needed too much?
Yeah. I remember about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I had a client who they had a lot of money they wanted to spend, but I always measure a client by, am I going to lose my peace? If I'm going to lose my peace, you're not my client. And I guard my peace. I love sleeping at night. I love going to bed knowing when I close my eye, I go to bed with a clear conscience. So for this particular organization, the request was way too much for me, for my emotional peace. It meant being on too many hours per day. It meant cleaning up things and doing crisis and damage control at a level I was not comfortable with. Because I'm not going to lie for you. I'm just not going to do that. So I turned that client down, although it would have been a significant client, not just for the business. It would have been great for our reputation. It would have been great for me. My bank account would have looked really nice. But I wouldn't have been able to sleep at night. So I said, no, thank you.
Wow. And so you guys are learning, because there's certain names out there, and mm-hmm. names I'll say, like you work for Procter & Gamble and you know, I could go on and people say, oh, wow. It's like saying you went to Yale or Oxford mm-hmm. and this and that, but to be able to turn that down.
It wasn't Procter & Gamble. That's clear.
No, yeah. I'm throwing them out there you know, there are certain names that, you know, in different fields that it's like, wow, you work for them. And people are like, well, how'd you do that? And you can write your own ticket for the rest of your life if mm-hmm. they let you in. It's, you know, it's like a secret society. Kind of like leadership of Palm Beach County when they, you know, do their, I don't know if you know, they do like for the whole 10 months when they do like the get in the hotel room and all that. And so a guy told me, I had to explain that to my wife. It was kind of uncomfortable. So, but I'm in a hotel with all these people, but it's not like that, people, from at least what I know. And so to say no, give the people, because I could talk to you forever. But she doesn't have forever, y'all. I don't know if you hear the planes coming. I think one of the planes are landing down shortly. They might come and swoop her away.
I wish it was one of mine. Right? I wish I had one of those coming to get me.
It's coming. We're not, we're not too far from the private airport.
We're gonna name it. We're going to name it and claim it.
Yes, yes. Go. So let the people know where they can find you, where they can connect. They can get the free resources. They can contact you for the more resources because so many more people need a spirit like yours. For their business, especially in a time where everybody has money, jewelry, toolery, cars, and everything else, where can they find you?
KarenHines.com. So hop onto our website and you'll see a window pop up, say, hey, sign up for our newsletter. That's a free resource right there. So you can begin to get some of the nuggets that I'm sharing now and we'll be sharing, you know, throughout the rest of the year. And then you'll be able to get information about our conference, which registration opens on March 15th, I'm so excited about that, as well as other opportunities where I'll be speaking, other podcasts I'll be doing, Instagram lives I'll be doing, speaking engagements that are free and open to the public. I'll be doing a few coming up in the next few weeks. So stay abreast and join me in this community of people who are just looking for ways in which we can spark transformation and empower those around you to think. Think for yourself and get connected with your spirit.
And the million-dollar question, you talk about another podcast. When will you have your own podcast?
Kellen. You know, I'm working on that. I need to get off, you know, and just get moving on that. My goal is to get this going in the next quarter, I would say. That's my goal. We just got to get the conference launch, and then we're going to get the podcast. But you'll be the first to know, Kellen. You'll be the first to know. And the Diversified Game audience.
You guys got it. So if you can email her, just flood her email and say, I need more. And I thank you guys for sticking to the end. I know the majority of you are listeners, but if you go over to the YouTube and share that as well, just so we can get on all platforms, you know, build up the audience. Thank you for liking, sharing, questions, whether you put it in the comments. But the most important thing is to share this game. It will change somebody's life. Thank y'all. Be blessed.
Hello, everyone. Join us on an exciting journey with Explore the World Cameroon. London and Sydney go take you explore Cameroon, the heart of Africa. Experience the vibrant culture, nature, and traditions from Yaoundé Market to rainforest adventures. Every page na new discovery. Join the Cameroonian food, music, and wildlife with our explorers. This book na true celebration of Cameroon spirit. Get your copy now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through your library and bookstores via Ingram Spark. Don't miss this adventure.
Hello everyone, come along with London and Sydney as they show you around the vibrant country of Cameroon. We explore the heart of Africa through the eyes of London and Sydney. Two explorers who journey across the great city of Yaoundé, exploring its rich culture, vibrant market squares, cultural heritage and wildlife. With giggles and excitement, London and Sydney Explore Cameroon takes you on a fun-filled adventure, providing insight into the country's culture and traditions through the pages of this book. It's packed with exciting stories and super cool facts about Cameroon that will make you go, wow. Get your copy now, available on Amazon and in libraries near you. There's only one easy way to experience the exploration of Cameroon, and it's through London and Sydney. Don't wait, get yours.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course, Prepare for My First Trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand or 10,000 Kenyan shillings? Or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.